Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
You want to do a show? You want to do a show, Aaron? No. We have nothing to talk about. There's nothing that happened over the weekend.
Listen, here's the deal about this. This thing is, we can talk about any of the football or whatever, but the truth of it is, this week is all about one thing.
Is it the ice cream? Are you still
Little talking? Debbie ice cream. That's all this week is about. So, yeah, well, yada, yada.
Is that there tomorrow?
There was a couple. It's supposed to come out tomorrow.
You think it'll, if you go to Walmart tonight, because it's 24-hour, if you get, will they start stocking it at 12:01?
I don't know. I was thinking about slipping by there in the morning, though, just to check it out.
Let's see if they got it.
See if it was there.
Oh, man.
Welcome to the Skinny on Sports here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour, Jim, coming up, hopefully, at 9:30. Haven't heard it otherwise, so we'll talk with him. NFC title game, AFC title game, those are obviously top of mind. Tom Brady, will he, won't he? Shepty normally is right on everything. Is this just a case where Brady's upset that he didn't get to be the one to control the news cycle or what have you? But really, we just want to talk about those games yesterday is kind of what's on my mind. Just an incredible collapse by a team that you wouldn't have thought of collapse the way they did. In Kansas City, and then not near as much of a collapse, but not as much, and definitely not as shocking that Jimmy G melted down in when the 49ers really need him, or was it his coach Kyle Shanahan? I think the turning point of that game to me was a call that wasn't made from the coaching staff there after the Rams had got it back within a field goal, and then there's an incredible bet that was made yesterday that has been paid out. On those games, and I'm going to tell you what that was, too. 225-9698, phone, text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us on KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon app has everything. It's got the radio station. It's got the Penny News, Big Yoke TV, Paragon TV. It's got all of that. And then also, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast, KADSAM.com or iTunes. Subscribe to that deal if you go the iTunes route, and then you can be alerted when the podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I'm doing good. We'll talk about basketball tomorrow. It's because we don't have a lot of time with Jim coming up. I know that y'all had a nice weekend over at Canute with basketball. We'll hit all that tomorrow as we're indulging in the the Little Debbie ice cream, hopefully, and giving the taste test out and what we think about each of the seven flavors. Let's start with Tom Brady, because that news kind of came out as I was over in Weatherford on Saturday afternoon with Schefter and Jeff Darlington. I actually listened yesterday to a segment on ESPN Radio with Jeff Darlington, and he was talking about, you know, that was the point where, wait a minute, you know, the agent makes a statement, Tom Brady's dad makes a statement, and then you hear, okay, he's called the GM yesterday afternoon to say he hasn't totally decided or whatever. It was interesting to listen to Jeff Darlington because he was essentially saying, whatever, I'm right. So he's standing by what he was told, you know, and he shared a story about how he almost put something out there that turned out to not be the case because it wasn't quite done, and kind of gave his history of it. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you started hearing these rumblings back even last week before the game that it wasn't for the first time ever, it wasn't a for sure Tom Brady's playing football again, right? And that's different than it's ever been. I don't think there's any doubt that Tom Brady is going to retire. I just think he might be a little bit upset that he wasn't able to be the one to tell us all in his timing. And, you know, I think he was trying to avoid being the star of the show over the weekend versus the games. I do think he was mindful of that.
Yeah.
And then now there's 2 weeks in between here to where the hype and the, you know, euphoria of that announcement will kind of drown out the first part of Super Bowl, you know, the extra week. And then once it gets to the week, it's going to be about the game. So I think maybe he was a little bit annoyed that the story broke in a way he didn't want it to break.
Yeah, I can see that. And I'm curious, how did it actually break? Did somebody guess or did something leak out? You know, and you'd think Brady's inner circle is pretty tight that wouldn't happen. So, but yeah, you know, after an illustrious career like he's had, 7 titles and how many MVPs? I mean, the list goes on and on, all the records. He has the right to stand up at that podium to make that announcement before anyone else does. So I'd be a little put out too if I'm Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's just the way it works, though. I mean, it's very rare. It's very rare that that happens.
It's not the mid-90s where, you know, it takes a little bit for news like that to get out. You know, everything's so instant, and everybody wants to be the first to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, it is what it is. And that's something else Tom Brady has to realize, too, is like, you know, it's going to happen. That's just going to happen that way.
Yeah,
it's just the world we live in. It's not super fair, and it's annoying, but it doesn't take anything away from the, you know, when he does decide to take that podium. I don't think it does. When he does decide to take that podium and make that official announcement come from him, I don't think everyone's going to in that room going to go, "Yeah, Tom, we know. We heard it over the weekend."
Right.
No one's going to. They're going to listen to what he has to say, and he's going to get the respect that he deserves. Or he deserves.
Yeah, and that respect is immense. So we could talk about that throughout the week, or, you know, as this becomes more official, at least official from him. It's just where he stands. I mean, obviously, he's the best quarterback of all time.
Yes.
Is he the best just football player of all time? And then where is he at in the pantheon across all sports of all time? There's very few that are on that kind of list with him, right? I mean, he is, man, one of the greatest that's ever played sports in any sport. There's no doubt about that. It's interesting that both he and Ben retire kind of the same time, even though they weren't in the same draft. But those are, when you think about AFC football over the past 2 decades, you think of 3 people. You think of Tom, you think of Ben, and obviously you think of Peyton Manning as well. Those are those guys. We had that stat. This is going to be the first Super Bowl since the 2002 season that doesn't have either of those 3 in it, plus the Niners.
Right.
You know, because of the way that game ended yesterday. It's just been an incredible run. And Brady's been, you know, half of that, and the other 2 picked up the slack for the other ones, you know what I mean? Let's get to the AFC game. I could not have been more shocked with the way that game happened. Kansas City's offense was just flying up and down the field in the first half. Every time they touched the ball, they scored a touchdown. And and it didn't seem like Cincinnati had any answer for it. You know, it's not like they were like, you know, you felt like the Bills kind of in the first half, even though they gave up a couple of touchdown drives, they were kind of pressuring Mahomes, and he was having to pull these Houdini acts. It really wasn't working like that for Cincy. The one play on the touchdown to Kelsey, they got a little pressure, and he spun around and rolled out. But other than that, he was kind of standing back there, taking what they gave him, handing it off, and the Chiefs just looked unstoppable. And then, to me, the game completely changed right at halftime, with going into the locker room. The Chiefs are down there, you know, inside the 5-yard line. They get cute with 9 seconds left, and they don't score. And but even then, they're up, what was the score? 21-10 at halftime. It was an 11-point game. But even then, you thought, okay, well, the time just kind of ran out. They've got the ball to start the third quarter. They'll go right down the field. It'll be 28-10, and it doesn't matter. You know, and Romo made that point coming out of halftime as the Chiefs had the ball in the third quarter, talking about what the offense could do. He goes, it doesn't matter if they just can't, if Kansas City scores every time. And then they got the 3-and-out. And you're like, wait a minute. You know, could this get interesting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the Bengals really don't do much, and they have to punt it again, and, oh, they got another stop. Then they scored, then they got the pick, then they kicked the field goal, then they got the pick, then they tied it, and it was like, whoa, now we got a game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I felt like you could see the Chiefs getting tighter and tighter, and Mahomes became less patient, And it felt like all of his – in the first half, he never threw it down the field. In the second half, especially fourth quarter and overtime, he was trying to hit the one big one to kind of squash what the Bengals were doing, and he never did.
Yeah. What was it at the end of regulation where they were going in to tie it and – or – It was tied.
They were going in to score a touchdown, try to take the lead.
No, end of regulation.
Yeah.
What happened there? No.
The Chiefs?
They got the three.
Yeah, they had first and goal at the seven.
Right.
And ended up getting sacked.
And he didn't have almost lost the
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, he fumbled it.
Fumbled it. Uh-huh. Just forgive me. I was watching on my phone from a scores table in a gym, so I couldn't hear anything, and I'm trying to pay attention to two games at once. But I saw that, and I nearly screamed louder than the little kids on the court, okay, where I thought, oh, my goodness, he about lost the game because he's trying to get cute with it or trying to do, you know, pull out those Houdini acts. But, yeah, it did seem like they were just a little tighter, you know, as the game wore on into the second half. And Mahomes was forcing some stuff, especially that throw in overtime, trying to force something that really he probably shouldn't have been throwing that far downfield in that situation.
Yeah, third and 10, you're trying to get something to happen.
Yeah, you're trying to get something to happen, but it just, you know, that I don't know, man. That's shocking to me, and it just, I was, you're about to talk about a bet, and it's funny because I had a buddy who was going to a casino that had sports books there, mm-hmm, and he was asking me, hey, dude, you want me to put any money down on this thing? And I almost said, man, I've been riding the Bengals train all week long. Something feels special about them. I don't know what it is. And I almost said, man, and I almost threw him, you know, Venmo'd him some money. Just, okay, let's go for it. And then about 10 minutes before kickoff, I said, I can't do it. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at home in the AFC title game. I can't do it. And then when I saw the score the way you saw it, you know, the way it progressed, well, that's it. But when it went to half and it was 21-10, I thought, there's a chance here for the Bengals.
Well,
there's a chance here.
That's what the drive right there before halftime when the Chiefs don't even get three. But even then, though, they started with the ball and they had moved. It wasn't like they didn't move up and down the field on that drive. They just ran out of time. You felt like. I mean, because even then, you're like, okay, so the Bengals stopped them from getting 3 yards twice. But it was, I mean, but they still got down there just in less than a minute. I mean, it just didn't look like that. But then not giving up points there, and then to start the third quarter, three and out, or not giving up points there, that's when I kind of went, that had to happen. Mm-hmm. That was the only way the Bengals had any shot to get back in the game was stopping them before the half and then right out of the half, because the Bengals, or the Chiefs, excuse me, had played it perfect. Mm-hmm. To get to 2-for-1, and they didn't get anything. And even though Burrow didn't do, you know, on the first stop, he didn't do anything the first drive. You could kind of almost feel like, wait a minute, for the first time all day, the Bengals look like they might be able to do something defensively to give them enough chances to maybe make it a game.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Bengals kick a field goal. And then they get that pick on the first play, and you're like, whoa, they have to score. And then they did, and they got the two, and all of a sudden it was 21-21, and it still felt like the Chiefs were dominating them.
Yeah.
And that's where you could feel the tightness of – I just can't believe Kansas City's offense. If you'd have told me they lost in an absolute shootout and their defense just kind of disintegrated like it did against Buffalo, okay. I can see that. I'm shocked at the way their offense just disintegrated in the second half.
Yeah.
And it's so wild that it was to the Bengals in almost the exact same fashion that it did in that regular season game just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, those two games were so dead scripted, exactly alike. And I was kind of chuckling. I honestly was kind of chuckling coming out of the halftime locker room. When that was both of the sideline folks, like, you know, especially the Bengals one, was, oh, the message was, we've been here before, down 11. I'm like, no, you haven't. You're at your house in a regular season game down 11. You're not in the AFC title game in Arrowhead down 11 with Mahomes getting the ball coming out of the locker room. No, you ain't. You ain't never been here. But it was just the same. They figured out how to get the ball to Chase, and yeah. Everything opened up.
Now, if they had played that game, the regular season game, and they just led wire to wire against Kansas City and won by 10 or 14, that, I think, would have not been very good for them coming into this game. Does that make any sense? The way they had to come back, and I could see what they're saying there. Maybe that was credit the head coach, and maybe that was the mentality. It's like, guys,
that's a fine thought, but come on, it's week 15.
That's what I was saying going into this game, was that they had the confidence of going, listen, we've played with this team earlier in the year, we've come back to win against them in that game. You know, going in that game, thinking, well, if the scenario is the same, we know we can do it. I get it; it's on the road to much bigger stage. Totally get it, but. Maybe that was, you know, that's.
I just don't understand how they can look so bad defensively for two games in a half. I mean, why aren't you starting that way? You know, yeah. I mean, what is going on here? And maybe it's the other way, though. Maybe the script is so good and the plan is so good from reading Mahomes, and then they were not able to adjust to anything the Bengals were doing in the second half. Mahomes' QBR, first half, 98. 100's perfect. He was 98. Second half in overtime, 1.4.
Ouch.
That's the biggest spread in a playoff game since QBR was invented. It's the biggest spread from one half to another in the history of the playoffs for any quarterback. And for it to happen to that one, it's just shocking to see that offense have no answers.
Yeah.
Because it's always the thing that has the answer. No matter what you're doing, he always unlocks the answer. And he didn't. I mean, the longer it went, the less likely it looked like he had the answer.
Yeah.
It was just baffling to me. Burrow, you know what Burrow can do? If he wins the Super Bowl, he'd be the first quarterback ever to win the Heisman, win a national title, and win the Super Bowl. He's trying to become the third quarterback ever to win the Super Bowl in his first couple of seasons with Montana. And Joe Namath being those other two. The comeback was the second largest road comeback in the history of the playoffs from 18 down. Teams were 4-163 all time in the playoffs, down 18 on the road. And he brings them back for the second largest one ever. Just a shocking that Kansas City blew that game. And now it's incredible, the narrative coming out. Like, Joe Burrow just took. I mean, yeah, quantum leaps yeah. up.
Well, I mean, everyone's like, you know, Mahomes is the next guy. Did Burrow kind of take that shine off of Mahomes?
Not yet. He's got to win something.
Yeah.
He's got to win it all.
He's got to win.
But then you look up and he's got the same amount that Mahomes has.
Yeah, Joe Burrow on the text line. Joe Cool. I mean, the dude, you make a good point. He has the difference between what people think about him today and what they were thinking about him at halftime of that game yesterday is astronomical.
Yes.
I mean, he's leapt to the front of the right behind Mahomes line for the young quarterbacks. I mean, right there with Josh Allen or past Josh Allen, being able to beat him in a lot of people's minds. And if he can win that Super Bowl now, man, who would have ever thought, starting this playoff run, that there would be questions about who you would take moving forward at the quarterback spot in the AFC? I mean, that's just been an easy answer. Mahomes.
Yeah.
And we move on. But with the way that Allen played, even in a loss, and now Burrow doing the things that he's done and the clutchness, it's kind of interesting that his name is Joe, and the Joe Cool and the Montana compare. You know, you can just see him coming with the way that he's able to do things in the clutch. He was great. Now, the other game, man, it's 17-7 when Kittle caught that pass for the touchdown. I was thinking, I'm going to be able to come in here and gloat and get mad at Kansas City even more for ruining my preseason Super Bowl pick. How could you guys do that? And then the Rams just chipped away. You know, Stafford leads them down for a touchdown. It's going to be easy to hammer Jimmy G because they did nothing in the fourth quarter. But the truth is the Niners never had the ball. You know, the first drive after it goes 17-14, They move it down to about the 45 of the Rams, second and one, and they run it twice and get nothing. Matter of fact, lose a yard. And now it's fourth and two, and Shanahan tried to do the old draw them offsides play. Everybody in the stadium knew they weren't going to run a play. But to me, that's where the game was lost. The Niners had to go for that to keep the ball because they weren't stopping the Rams. The Rams on third down were off the charts outside of getting down in the red zone and having to kick field goals. But in the middle of the field, working the ball down the field, they were great on third down. It felt like they could throw it to Odell or Cooper Kupp every single time they wanted to, and those guys were going to be open for first downs. And so to me, Shanahan had to try to save it that way with his offense at fourth and two, because after that, the next drive they went backwards, and then of course the final drive, Jimmy G trying to make a play. I mean, he'd probably get hammered for that interception, but it is what it is. It was going to be fourth and a mile with the clock running and having to take your last time out. You got to try to do something to not take the sack, and the ball just bounced off the hands of the receiver right into the defender's chest, and the game was over. Looking back at it, the fourth down play was huge. And then, of course, the play with Tart, the safety for San Francisco, when he just dropped that interception. It was like that popped the San Francisco bubble, because they still had the lead even after not going for it on fourth down. They still had the lead. That was just a layup of an interception. And he dropped it, and the Rams went right down the field and tied it with a field goal.
Yeah, that's, you know, the what-ifs, right? The what-ifs of sports. We always go through that. But, that was the outcome I thought. I'm just happy it wasn't a blowout. You know, kind of like what we talked about Friday. What would we want more? And that's it, right? But the Kansas City-Cincinnati game in that one proves that parity is well alive in the NFL. But I think the better team won. But me personally, because again I'm on that Bengals train right now, I was thinking, man, if somehow San Francisco can pull this out, the Bengals really have a good chance to win it at all. But because of the way it happened, I don't know. But entertaining nonetheless. San Francisco had their chances, they just didn't take it.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, you got to protect a 10-point lead. You have to add to it too. You can't let up. And once they went up 10, I thought, well, there's that chance, but we're in L.A.
Well, heck, it didn't seem like it. The L.A. fans ought to be embarrassed. That was a road game.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they were the ones having to use the silent count in their home stadium.
Yeah.
Here's how unlikely that was. Matt Stafford had lost 26 straight when trailing by 10-plus in the fourth quarter. Sean McVay was 0-14 in his head coaching career in that situation, down 10-plus in the fourth quarter. And this is the crazy one. The Rams, under Sean McVay, are now 2-23 when trailing by double digits in the second half. You know the two wins? Yesterday and the 2018 NFC title game against the Saints. So the only times that he's come back from 10-plus point deficits in the second half have been in the two NFC title games to get them to the Super Bowl. Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In your mind, was it more Jimmy G melting, or was it just the Rams taking it away from them?
It felt like the Rams kept, like you mentioned Kupp, you mentioned Beckham, it felt like the Rams kept applying that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I 100% agree.
I want to give all the credit. I'm not really ready to knock on Jimmy because of, you know, that last play there in the fourth. I'm not ready to do that. I don't think it was really him melting down or not, but I felt like the Rams, their offense kept applying that pressure, and then San Francisco had to answer. Now, yeah, Jimmy had to make those throws. You know, he had to make those plays.
Yeah, but
he didn't really do it.
Gosh, he didn't have much of a chance, though. The last two times they had the ball, the first three, I mean, he was on his butt the whole time. And then, of course, the last drive, he's pressured the whole time. You know, I mean, there wasn't much going on at that point. It was like the Rams finally figured out, you know what we need to do? We need to get Von Miller away from Trent Williams because that one ain't working. Mm-hmm. And they put him on the other side, and next thing you know, he's in the backfield.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of figured out, and then, oh, wait a minute, now we can put Aaron Donald over here too on the right side of the offensive line instead of messing with Trent, and they were in the backfield. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like that instant, and you're thinking, why aren't you doing that the whole time? Why even mess with the Silverback?
He's just the best offensive lineman in the game right now.
Yeah, it was crazy. By the way, that bet. I want to tell you about this bet. I'll tell Jim too. Let's get Jim on the horn. Darren Revelle has tweeted this out from FDS Sportsbooks, confirming that this is a real bet and confirming that they paid this out.
I saw the bet. I saw the payout. I don't know the details, so I'm anxious to hear about it.
Okay, and here's what it was. A guy parlayed the correct score of both games yesterday. Bengals 27, Chiefs 24, Rams 20, 49ers 17. Individually, it was plus 22,000 on the Bengals Chiefs game, plus 13,000 on the Rams 49ers to get that score right. When you parlay it, it was plus 289,500. Or I'm sorry, 2.8 million. So half that, it ends up winning $579,000.
That's
on a
$20
bet, and guess what? It was a site credit.
That's insane.
$20 site credit.
So he didn't even lose $20.
No, he didn't have to bet $20.
Wow.
He bet their $20 to win $579,000.
I need to gamble more.
Yeah, I guess so. If you're going to do it like that. Joining us now is one of the probably the best gambler I know, at least poker player I know, is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
Good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. It's a beautiful day. One more day in the neighborhood, and then it's going to get pretty nasty. It looks like through the middle of the week with the weather.
I know it. I know the weather's getting ready to get bad. You know, speaking of poker, though, fellas, I got to give it up to myself. This weekend we went out to Pecola. Y'all ever been to Pecola?
No. I know where it's at, but I've never been there.
It is literally, I mean, from your place to there, it's got to be almost a five-hour drive.
Yep.
I mean, it's from one side of Oklahoma to the other side. So they had tournaments down there this weekend, and I won another tournament.
Good grief.
I know, it's unbelievable. It was a much smaller one than the other one, but I won a tournament and then turned around in the seniors event yesterday and had the chip lead going into the final table and then just got some bad things that happened and finished sixth in the senior event. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on. My friend told me, he said, man, you need to go find tournaments right now, because in this crazy game, sometimes you run really good and sometimes you run really bad. And I've had the running really bad. But right now, things are going well, so I'm very happy about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't win 500-something thousand like that guy did, but I did win a little bit, so that's good.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. You're running good. Now, obviously, like you talked about, since you won that ring, you have to get lucky at certain points. Just because, you know, somebody may have a better hand than you or whatever. But at the same time, I'm sure you feel like, hey, I'm making the right decisions 99% of the time throughout those tournament wins.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as I've gotten better in poker, I still make mistakes, you know, or maybe read something wrong. But I don't do flat-out stupid things near as much as I did, you know, years ago. But like in the senior event yesterday, I lost with King Jack versus King Nine. I lost with Ace Jack versus King Jack. I mean, so, you know, I mean, the dealer was just looking at me like, wow. I mean, I lost a bunch of hands that I was really highly favored on, you know, and still had the chip lead. But then I got to the final table, and we had my wife's over here telling me with her finger, okay, wrap it up. Unbelievable. I'm going to tell you all something. If she sat with me during my radio shows, it would be a festival of her going, okay, that's enough, stop. You know, anyway, you know, you get lucky, you don't get lucky. I've been getting lucky, and I've been playing well. And when you get good cards, you get lucky, and you play well. And what happens is you run through tournaments. So, I don't know, man. 2 weeks, I'm going to Vegas playing in a pretty big tournament out there in the world, you know, when we're going out to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I'm hoping that it continues. I know that. So,
let's talk about, speaking of the Super Bowl, we know the matchup now, the Bengals and the Rams. And there you go. Congrats again, having the Rams to start. There was a point there where I thought I was going to be able to give it up to myself because I had the 49ers to start, but they melted down. In the end, the Rams were the better team. I was more shocked in the first game. If you would have told me that Kansas City lost to the Bengals in a, you know, like 38-35, their defense couldn't make a stop, I would have believed you. But if you'd have told me they had it up 21-3 and their offense melted down in the second half to where they allowed the Bengals back in the game, I wouldn't have believed you. I couldn't believe what I was seeing yesterday with the offense of the Chiefs just completely disintegrating in front of our eyes.
Well, let me tell you something, fellas. For me, the key to that game was the end of the first half.
Yep. I agree.
The Chiefs get greedy. You know, they're thinking, oh, we can do anything. And I don't know how in the world they don't throw the ball in the end zone. I mean, I know they, you know, Tyreek Hill is just incredible, but you've got to throw the ball in the end zone there at the end. And if you just kick a field goal, then the momentum is with you. But Cincinnati went into the daggone locker room, I guarantee, and said, fellas, we're way down, but we just stopped them. We could have been even more down. Let's figure out some things and get back out there. And I just thought that that was a major – you know what that was, fellas? That was just cockiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was just the Kansas City Chiefs saying we could do anything we want to do. We could throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage with 5 seconds left with no timeouts. I mean, think about that, guys. I mean, if that was the Dallas Cowboys, they would get obliterated for that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But because the Chiefs' offense is so daggone good – you know, people probably aren't going to kill him for that. But I think that that was the key to the game. I will say that Cincinnati is an amazing story. I mean, everybody knows I'm a Steeler fan. I don't like the Bengals. I like them a little bit more than I do the Browns. But it's an amazing story that this team is in the Super Bowl. I thought they were going to get lit yesterday. You know, I thought they'd lose by a couple touchdowns. But they hung in there, made some plays. I thought Burrow... the biggest plays for them were those 2 third-down runs that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them, Chris Jones, had him in his hand, and he still got out and went and got a first down. So this is one of the biggest stories, I think, going into a Super Bowl that we've ever had. The Bengals are such – do you have any idea what they were at the beginning of the year?
No, I was looking for that earlier, and I couldn't find the beginning of the year odds.
I got to tell you, I'm going to have to ask the fat check, but I will bet you any amount of money was at least 30-1. At least. I don't know what it was because I got the Rams at 11-1. The fat check got the Rams at 15-1. They was offshore. So if the Rams were 15-1, the Bengals had to be at least 30-1. So, yeah, this is an amazing story. And, you know, I'm happy for Zach Taylor. And the Burrow kid is just a gutsy dude, man. He really is. And, you know, they got like $40 million of cap space, guys. So the Bengals are going to be a really, really tough team to reckon with here.
I'm seeing 75-1 on our text line preseason.
Well, then, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Gosh, I wish I would have bet on them, too.
It'd be an easy game to watch on Sunday if you had, or next Sunday, I guess, if you had both of them with the preseason odds that way.
Yeah, but don't forget, fellas, two seasons ago they had the worst record in the NFL.
Yeah.
Two seasons ago.
How much Burrow, it's just incredible. You know, to me, his stock probably has risen more than anybody's in this playoff run. And after what we saw last week with Allen and then obviously Burrow taking his team to the Super Bowl, do we have to start asking ourselves, you know, it's always just kind of been Mahomes is the guy and then who's underneath him. Those two guys don't seem near as far away as they did, you know, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about Mahomes is that he's done a really good job of getting a little bit more patient and stuff.
Yeah.
I do think that he really is throwing the ball all over the place a little bit too much now. It's almost like people are like, wow, you can throw the ball underhand. You can throw the ball sidearm. You know, I think a couple of times, I think that, you know, he might want to use a pump fake and then throw it. You know, like there was one where Kelce was open and he threw it kind of sidearmed and he threw it too high and he couldn't get it. You know, I mean, again, I think it's fun to watch and everything. But I think you go back to the fundamentals of just playing quarterback. sometimes he forgets about those. This was a monumental comeback and a monumental, I mean, fall apart. I mean, they scored 3 points in the second half. So, look, the Chiefs were the better team, but they lost. It's that simple. And you got to give it up to the Bengals. And as far as quarterback is concerned, you know, if you said to me, here's one guy that you take to win a game, I would take Burrow, I would take Mahomes, or I would take Allen. You give me one of them, I'll let you take another one. I'll play you, you know. So, I mean, Mahomes is a great, great superstar. But these other dudes, like you said, they're not far behind.
Final question about that game, we can move on. Settle an argument between me and Aaron. I say that when the Bengals played the Chiefs, 3-4 weeks ago, and had to come back to win, that gave them some confidence going into the half yesterday, knowing we've been down to this team before, we can come back and beat them. Aaron says otherwise. He says, no, that's a completely different game. That was a completely different stage yesterday. What say you?
I disagree with Skinny. Yeah, look, in any walk of life, if you've done something, well, then, you know, let me give you a quick story. When I was doing ESPN radio, I'd go up there on the weekends and do ESPN radio. And one time they had a guy who got sick. And they called me up, and, you know, I had a studio in my house. And they called me up and said, hey, can you do the show tonight? And it's, you know, it's 4 hours. And I was all by myself. And I'm going to let you all know, fellas, that I call it verklempt. I had butterflies. I was really nervous. And I just said to myself, you idiot, man, you have done national radio a lot of times. So just start talking and you'll be fine. If I had never, ever done that, I might have passed out and not been able to do the show. Because I was nervous. I really was. It was crazy. I was really nervous. So I do agree with I agree that the fact of the matter is that if you've done something, it certainly makes it easier to do again. I'm not saying that's the only reason. I think that end of the first half, like I brought up earlier, was a big part of it too. So I think, you know, you go into the locker room and you say, fellas, man, we just made a great stop. They didn't score. And we've come from behind here before. So, you know, this is our game. You know, I've heard coaches say that kind of stuff. So I do think that there's I think Jared's a little bit right on this one, Skinny.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, I get the walk around here feeling
all
good.
All that stuff's easy to say coming out of the locker room, but you still have to go do it. But yeah.
I know this, though. Normally when we're on the air, Jared, you're the one who's
wrong. Well, I'm used to that. Thank you.
Now, I think that whole sequence, stopping them at the end of the first half and then stopping them to start the third quarter, instead of 35-10, it was still 21-10. And that's, to me, that was the game. Because that gave the Bengals a chance.
They got greedy, man. Yep. It's not good to get greedy. When you're really good, you better not get greedy. That's what they did. They got greedy at the end. Throw the ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't get it, kick a field goal, and you go up by 21, 24-3. That's a difference. That's a difference.
And the other game, I mean, it almost more expected, I guess, just because it was Jimmy Garoppolo as the opposing quarterback as opposed to Mahomes, you know, with the lead. But it's something that hasn't happened there for the Rams. Stafford had lost 26 in a row, including playoff games when his team trailed by 10 in the fourth quarter, 10 or more. McVay was 0 for 14. He'd never done that, coming back from that in the fourth quarter. But, man, the Rams, third downs, they were so good once they fell behind 17-7. It didn't matter, third and 10, third and 6, third and 8. Seemed like they had a ton of them, and they picked up almost every one of them. And they just methodically moved down the field and had just enough to come back and beat the 49ers.
Yeah. No, it was an amazing win, man. When they were down, 17-7, mm-hmm. I thought they're in trouble against this defense. But they figured out a way to get it done. Scored 17 points in a row, 13 points in a row to win the game. Stafford, fellas, listen, I'm not going to say that Stafford's the greatest thing of all. He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, he really is. I mean, he got lost in oblivion up there with the Lions, and not many people watched him play, but he's a good quarterback.
and they got weapons. And by the way, the Odell Beckham thing, does that make your boy Baker Mayfield look bad?
Yeah, I don't see how it doesn't. I mean, the only thing you could say in defense of it is Cleveland was trying to have him be the number one, and he may be the two or the three on that team. But sure, I mean, he looks like a totally different player, you know, as far as effort-wise and getting open. And all of a sudden he looks kind of like the guy that he was in New York as opposed to anything we ever saw in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, they got weapons. Again, I mean, on paper, you would think that they'd beat Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's losing to people. Now, again, I told you, I don't know, I've been on with you guys a while, but I don't know if you heard me on the radio. I said that I thought that the Tennessee Titans were the worst number one seed I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think that, I think they're a very average team. And so Cincinnati beating them, it didn't do, I mean, it was a nice win, don't get me wrong, but it didn't do a whole bunch for me. This did a whole bunch for me, coming from behind with that crowd and everything. But the Rams are a good team, man. They really are. They got a great defense. I mean, fellas, do you realize what a mismatch this is supposed to be with the Rams' defensive line and the Bengals' offensive line? I mean, this should be – that could be one of the biggest mismatches you've ever seen in a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean the Bengals are going to get beat. But, I mean, that don't you agree that that is a – I mean, you got one of the worst offensive lines in the league against one of the best defensive lines in the league.
Oh, yeah, they get the 9 sacks to Tennessee, and now you get to face Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald. Good luck with that.
Yeah, if Cincinnati wins the Super Bowl, it's one of the greatest stories in the history of sports. I truly believe that. Just to get there is an amazing story. But this is just a flat-out, up-front mismatch. And what do we say all the time? Where's it won? In the trenches. So, I mean, listen. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to Vegas. I'll probably hedge a little bit on Cincinnati. Maybe kind of, well, I'd probably bet them, you know, on the money line since you're getting points. But, wow. Right now, if someone said to me, Jim, would your ticket on the Rams, would you give, if I gave you $500 for it, would you take it? I would probably say no. I think the Rams are the better team. Now, doesn't mean the Bengals are going to win, but I just think the Rams up front should really dominate. They should really dominate. What did the 49ers run for yesterday? Do you know how many yards they rushed for?
Just had that up.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much, was it?
No, it wasn't. I'm working on it. It was.
I think the...
let's see here.
It was like 70 yards? 50 yards.
It was 50. Yeah,
50 yards.
Yeah, 50 yards, man. I mean, what... what are they going to run for against the Rams? You know, so I thought the Bengals would get lit yesterday, and they didn't. I'm not saying they'll get lit in the Super Bowl, but I just don't see them winning the game. But maybe they'll do it again. They're an amazing story. Amazing story.
Oh, yeah, the Bengals ran for 116, 88 from Mixon, 25 from Burrow on a couple of those that you were talking about earlier where he just got out of – what looked like a sure sack. I'm the same way. Like, they only gave up one sack yesterday. It felt like way more than that, just watching the game.
Burrow, the play that he made with Chris Jones hanging all over him, that was unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, this is a cool Super Bowl. It really is, man. You got Stafford and his situation. You got Odell Beckham coming back. You got one of the biggest underdogs as far as the beginning of the season that you can imagine being in the Super Bowl. So it's really cool, and OU fans, you guys got to be so fired up that the two running backs, P. Ryan and Mixon, you know. Pretty cool.
Yeah, a bunch of OU guys out there. Three on one side and one or two on the other.
There's a bunch of Norman High School guys. You see that? What was there for the Bengals? I think that's what I saw. Anyways, a lot of good representation there. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that it was going to be LA versus Cincinnati in the Super Bowl, I was like, well, that sounds like a boring Super Bowl. But to me, it looks like LA should be the heavy favorite. I think it opened up at 3.5.
Well, I figure it's way more than that.
That's what I saw. Maybe.
I know, yeah, 3.5. But you know, they're not gonna really put a big old use line on the Super Bowl. They're gonna feel it out,
right?
To see if it moves back down to 3 if a bunch of people bet Cincinnati. But I would think the money would be on the Rams, which of course will scare me. But yeah, it's really cool. I'll be excited to be out there and watch the game. I think Cincinnati's an amazing story.
And that's where I was going with this. It's intriguing to me with how Cincinnati got here with the way they've been winning as of late and upsetting what everybody thought was the favorite in Kansas City. And I'll watch start to finish. This thing looks like it could be a really intriguing Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll be watching. There's no doubt about it. I'll be away from the poker tables and the craps tables, and I'll be watching the game. So.
What do you make of the report over the weekend from Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington that Tom Brady is going to call it quits, and then now the little bit of backpedaling on the Brady side yesterday saying that decision hasn't been made? I think it has. He just wanted it to come out a different way. But what do you make of what's going on back and forth there?
How similar this is to the Supreme Court Justice Breyer, right? The exact same thing happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just crazy. And let me tell you something. I don't know. There's some people that think that Tom Brady is just as important as the Supreme Court Justice. Yeah, listen, he's gone. Adam Schefter doesn't report things unless he's got it. And then you throw Darlington in there, too. So this is a done deal. I'm a little surprised by it. He kept talking about how he wanted to play until he was 45 and then to retire at 44. But I think, he said something the other day that was really telling when he said that his wife is tired of watching me get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that. I really can. And, he's 44 years old. He's got a big life in front of him. They have all the money in the world. So,
yeah, really... Really, we knew he was going to retire at some point. A lot of us thought it was going to be 5 years ago, but he did have the best numbers in the entire league almost this year. So, I think he's gone. Don't you guys? I mean, Adam Schefter doesn't report something that's not true this big.
No, and I heard yesterday, kind of before the games, I was in my car, and Jeff Darlington came on to the show that was on ESPN Radio, and he wasn't backing down whatsoever. He said, "We've got this." I know it to be true. I would not report it if it wasn't locked up tight as it could possibly be. So, I mean, he convinced me, even though you started hearing those reports from Brady's agent and his own dad and then, the GM saying, well, I just talked to him, da-da-da. I think it's just a simple case of he didn't want it to come out like this. He wanted to be the one to control all the narrative. Where do you put
it? You're the best.
Go ahead.
You're the best player of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd like to be able to do your own deal, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that that's what it is. I mean, he wanted to, have his press conference and everything like that. But nowadays with these people, all they do is try to report stuff. It's hard to let that, let it go. So,
where do you put him in the pantheon of all-time athletes, not just on the football field, all-time best athletes in American sports?
Him and Michael. I mean, obviously, I talked about the best baseball players of all time. Whatever sport you want to
throw out there,
he's up there with them. Now, personally,
for me,
okay, and I know a lot of people don't really, and especially in Oklahoma, think that I'm crazy. The greatest player athlete of all time for me is Wayne Gretzky, and I don't think it's even close. I mean,
fellas, you guys, I don't know if y'all know this, but when he came into the league, no player ever scored 100 points. And for people that don't know hockey, you get a point for a goal, you get a point for an assist. All right?
Nobody had ever scored over 100 points.
He scored over 200.
Yeah.
A bunch. I can't remember the amount of times. It might have been five or six times. So you can bring up
Michael Jordan. You can bring up Tom Brady. You can bring up Hank Aaron. I mean, you can bring up Willie Mays, all of them. To me, and I think it's not even close, the greatest player in their sport ever was Wayne Gretzky. But if you're mentioned with Wayne Gretzky and Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and Michael Jordan, well, that's just incredible. So I would put him right up there with those guys, but I think Gretzky is the most amazing of all of them, if you ask me.
Yeah, four of them.
Four times he went over 200 points.
Four times, and then four times in 5 years, and the one in there where he didn't, he had 196.
Yeah, I mean, fellas, no one ever scored 100 points, and he scored over 200. I mean, think about that. That would That would be like, I don't know if I can even figure out something like that. I mean, I don't even know what it would be to double it. Okay, but what's the record for? Is it like 50 touchdowns in a year for the quarterback?
Yeah.
That would be like somebody having 100. So, yeah, he's, to me, he's the greatest. But that doesn't take anything away from Brady or, I mean, you think about Brady, man. The lack of, you said the best athlete, he's lack of athleticism.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for him to do what he did and not be at all an athlete, you know, the way he looked when he came into the league. I mean, I saw a story yesterday that his dad, when he did, they thought he might not get drafted. I guess his dad told him, son, you're going to have to figure out maybe what you're going to do when football's, you know, no football. Now he's the best of all time, so.
Yeah,
you think he's figured it out now?
I'm glad he's gone, Jerry, because I'm sick and tired of listening, hearing him. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that guy, that picture is iconic from the combine when he's in his boxer shorts and he's pudgy. Not quite to my level, but he's got some pretty decent pudge on him. That guy is the greatest football player ever. And it doesn't make a lot of sense.
About 22 years old, if I'd have stood next to him, think about this now with my body, if I'd have stood next to him when I was 22 years old, I'd have looked like an Adonis compared to him.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And he's the greatest football player of all time. So, pretty amazing.
It is amazing. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. What about the podcast? What's coming up today with the Julie and Jim Traber podcast?
Oh, we got a really good Julie and I listened to it driving home from Pecola last night. It's really good. And I'll tell you, for the first time after it was over, Julie thought it was really good. We've done like 17, 18 of them now. And she's still frightened that like it's not any good.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that this one was good. I will give you all a hint. If you're someone of faith, Julie on this one gives some amazing Bible verses on according to what we're talking about anxiety and stuff like that. And I had tears in my eyes listening to her when we were driving home. It was just beautiful. So if you know, the Julie and Jim Traber podcast, we'd love for you to take a listen. It's going to be on there today. And then, of course, go to my Instagram, at Jim Traber. We're well over 10,000. We're trying to roll it up and send out pictures and enjoy life. And if you come after me on Instagram, dude, it's not like Twitter. I just get rid of you. That's all I do. I just get rid of you.
All right, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, and have a great show coming up this afternoon.
All right. Very good, fellas. Thanks.
You betcha. Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday, as he does throughout the year. I think he's dead on with the Chiefs right there at halftime, coming out of the halftime. And I do think the word he used to describe their offense, arrogance, I think there's that to it, where you just get in such a rhythm and such a dominating position, you think, well, I can do whatever I want to.
Yeah.
You know? And you give – that's the crazy thing about the Bengals. You give them an inch, and they're going to take a yard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done in a lot of these playoff games.
Yep. You know what else he was dead on right about?
What's that?
Something that we agreed upon.
What?
They had that confidence coming out of the locker room.
Listen, you both can be wrong. There's
I'm
no doubt about that.
I'm going to walk out with my chest puffed out a little bit.
You can both be wrong about the same thing. It's okay. It's a lot like that momentum thing that you carry on about.
Oh, you should have heard me Friday night on air. I gave you a shout out.
Oh, good. Let's go back and listen.
No, I was just glad that both games were not duds.
No, they were better than I thought they would be, honestly.
Yep.
No doubt about that. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a bunch of high school hoops to talk about.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.